This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
All right, so right as I'm getting ready to start recording this episode, which, by the way, is probably going to be the longest episode I've done so far. I've got a lot of stuff to talk about. I get a message from Martin. He shot down my new logo that I designed for the podcast. I designed it in conjunction with my five-year-old son. He drew a picture of Cheetah breaking Wonder Woman's back, a la Bane breaking Batman's back, which I had a commission done of Rocksteady breaking Donatello's back. So Sam saw that and thought, I could do that too. He did his own. So I took that picture and I edited it in front of his playhouse in our yard, and it was wonderful. It was a fantastic picture that clearly illustrates my mindset when I'm reading comic books and thinking about my son. But Martin shot it down. He wouldn't let me change it. So apparently Martin's in control of my logo. There you go. Let's get on to other stuff to talk about. I got a lot to talk about this time. I have an extra special segment. Usually Sparky's the one asking the questions and demanding answers, but I got somebody else that asked a question and demanded an answer, and I decided instead of typing this all out painstakingly, I would just talk about it. Made it a lot easier. Alex Reynolds asked me about mind management. He said, how good is it and why should I buy it? Fair question, a good question. It's, you know, pretty big investment to buy a series that has run for 36 issues, six volumes. It's printed by Dark Horse. So the volumes are all hardcover, which is nice. And they're all affordable hardcover. I want to say the cover price is $20 or $25. I think it's $20. And as usual, if you are smart about where you buy stuff, you can get it for a lot less. Maybe it is $25. Either way, In Stock Trades typically has Dark Horse stuff at like 42% off or something ridiculous. So you can get all six volumes for a very good price. And it's very much worth buying. And here's why. Number one, you should ask yourself, do you like Matt Kent? If you like Matt Kent, you got to get Mind Management. It's his pinnacle. It's the biggest work he did that is, it's all him. It's his idea. His work, when you hear him talk about it, I've heard him talk about it on other interviews that he's done on different podcasts. And it's interesting how it all worked out because he hadn't done anything like that before. And it's not like he was some big proven commodity. And it was a big risk to do it. And there was the chance of him getting shut down before it was all done. I highly suggest you listen to podcasts that Matt Kent has been on talking about it and let him tell you the story about how that all worked out. But anyways, if you like Matt Kent, it's his biggest, most ambitious project, so you should definitely check it out just on the back of that. It's his artwork, it's his writing. Second of all, it's there's so many extras in the story. He uses the margins of the page to add additional content, and he puts so much different stuff in there that just kind of adds little details. One of the things I loved about the series is at one point those side details that you think are just kind of a little bit of a perk on the side actually get pulled right into the content of the story, and so it makes them a critically important element of the story rather than just kind of a bonus that's put in there. So that's really awesome element of it. The story just keeps getting better and better. It took me three tries to read it all for various reasons, not necessarily or definitely not because of the quality of the story. The first time I read through the first two volumes, the second time I read through the first three volumes, and I just kind of stalled up, and between those that time and the time I finally read it all, I sold my physical copies. I bought it all digitally. That made it a lot easier for me to just keep on reading it, basically. And reading through it several times like that, the interesting thing that I saw is that when you read the first volume, it's a good story. When you read the second volume, so much stuff gets unveiled that it's just it's totally different, and it's kind of shocking some of the differences and some of the things that you find out. Then you read the third volume, and it's like a whole nother layer has been peeled off of the whole story. And it kind of keeps going that way where you get more and more unveiled that changes your perspective on everything that you read. But it's a great book. It's a great story. It's 36 issues across six volumes. You can either wait for a Comixology sale and get it for pretty cheap that way. Or you can, if you like physical copies of stuff, you can get the Dark Horse collections for a very good price. You know, once again, if you know how to look around for it. But it's definitely something worth checking out. It's suspense. It's a spy thriller. It's action. It's a good story. So that's my answer to you, Alex. I hope that answers all your questions. If not, send me a message and I'll answer any more specific questions you have on my next episode of the podcast. So next up, I would like to talk about two things that I have read in the last week since the last time I did the podcast. I'm on vacation this week, so that's been a mix between actually getting to get through reading some things and having all my time monopolized by my family. Both good things. Love spending time with my family. One thing that I finished reading, which was the last of the things I was wrapping up from my March downloads on Hoopla, is Volume 2 of Abe Sapien. The Devil Does Not Jest in Other Stories. So Abe Sapien has five collections. The first two were like mini series that were collected. And then the last three collections are collecting the ongoing series, which essentially is the same thing. Like Mignola tells stories and he's flip-flopped between how he presents them as being just individual stories and having concurrent numbering. I don't know. It definitely all gets a little bit confusing when you try to figure it all out. That's why it's kind of nice to pursue Mignola Hellboy universe stuff via trades and collections rather than trying to pursue it via individual issues. One thing that's great that they've been doing is they've been publishing omnibi now that collect everything in a much easier way to read. Abe Sapien actually has two omnibi that are out, or omnibuses. I actually discussed that with Martin on his podcast. The plural of omnibus is omnibuses. I think omnibi sounds better, but we'll say omnibuses. We'll humor Martin. So there's two Abe Sapien omnibuses that collect everything. They're also publishing Hellboy omnibuses. There's BPRD omnibuses that collect everything before Hell on Earth. They're the Plague of Frogs omnibuses. Plus there's one that collects 1946, 1947, and 1948, which are three arcs or miniseries from the BPRD universe. And then BPRD Hell on Earth is, I believe, beginning to be published in omnibuses. So you can check that out. But back to Abe Sapien, Volume 2. There's three stories in here. One is about a reclusive demonologist in Maine. Abe goes to see what's going on there when he meets up with this demonologist's, it's the nephew of the son of the demonologist. Takes Abe to meet his uncle, who is the son of the demonologist. That uncle kills his nephew, and Abe is like, what the F? Chases him in the house, finds all kinds of craziness. The demonologist had unleashed a demon from hell that came through, but then he trapped him. So down in the basement of this house, essentially, there's a giant, like, cow scold demon that's dead down there. Craziness. But he had infected the demonologist's wife, who is now, like, a monster, basically. It's some pretty crazy, creepy stuff. This was the second time I read it, because I had read it in floppies when I had bought a whole crap load of Hellboy universe stuff at one point from my LCS. I thought all the stories in this volume were pretty great. I've had discussions with people about whether or not Hellboy is horror, and I think there's a lot of Hellboy that it's, you know, a lot of people think of horror as being, you know, like the gore and the shock value and stuff, and that's like the first thing that they think of. There's a lot more to horror than that, and I think that the best horror is kind of horror and something else. There's some other element to it. So you know, is the horror an aspect of what the other thing is, or is it horror primarily with another aspect to it? I think that Hellboy proper is a story with horror elements, and something like Abe Sapien here, this is more like horror with more structure to it, kind of in a way. But I think when you read this book, like, you definitely see the horror in these stories. The second story is about a haunted lake. Two boys are playing. They drown in the lake. One gets rescued. The other one's dead. It turns out that the one that was rescued is actually possessed by a demon, and the boy's spirit is trapped in the lake because the demon stole his body, basically. That's a very good story also. The last one is about a sunken Soviet submarine where the Soviets had in their possession an artifact of great power. And this one Soviet, he's not a soldier. It actually, in the story, says that he's not in the military anymore. So I guess he's like a private contractor, essentially. But he's doing this like one last job. And then he's going to stop doing it and stay home with his wife. And the submarine gets sunk. So he dies guarding this artifact. And when Abe and his crew finds it, he comes back to life just to come and continue to guard the artifact. So he comes on the boat. He's not trying to harm anybody. He gets shot up by somebody else. His guts fall out. That just doesn't even faze him. He's just looking for the artifact. So he just wants to be there with it. That's it. So when in the current time, a Soviet boat is coming to recover this artifact, they make the decision to basically resync the artifact with the guy who's been watching it and let the Soviets deal with it. And they just notify some other authorities. So all three very good stories. If you haven't read Abe Sapien, if you like Hellboy stuff, you'll like it. It's good stories to read. You'll be familiar, obviously, with Abe Sapien. It's kind of nice to see him on his own. I think that sometimes in the other stuff, he kind of loses his edge a little bit. Like, it makes him look a little bit softer. And when you see him on his own like this, you see that he's pretty tough creature there. So Abe Sapien, really enjoyable. The creators on this, Michael Mignola, of course, his name's on everything in the Hellboy universe. John Arcudi, who's done a lot of stuff with the BPRD universe. Then there's also Patrick Reynolds, Peter Snaberg. I don't know, that's a weird name, hard for me to say. Dave Stewart on it. He does a lot of the coloring for a lot of this stuff. And when he colors other stuff, it kind of gives it that hint of Hellboy horror vibe. So I love his colors. The other thing I read this entirely today. I Kill Giants by Joe Kelly, written by Joe Kelly, art by Ken Nimura. I'd heard about this, other people talking about it, specifically Martin. He's why I gave it a shot. And then the movie just came out recently. So I've been hearing people talk about this for quite some time. So I finally gave it a shot to read it, downloaded it on Hoopla. And I kind of started reading a couple of pages the other day, but it didn't pull me in right away, which, you know, usually takes more than a couple pages anyways. But I'd probably just finish something else up. So, you know, you got that kind of need to take a breather before you really get going on something else. But today I got rolling on reading it, and man, this sucked me right in. I thought this was fantastic. It's a story that at first it starts off and it just kind of seems like it's going to be a little more on the lighthearted side. Quirky young girl, probably like younger high school, maybe even junior high age girl. You know, she thinks she's a giant killer. She's into D&D, stuff like that. So a lot of, you know, geeky stuff that people can relate to. It seems kind of like just like a funner, more lighthearted story, you know, and then she starts dealing with some elements of school stuff. You know, there's a bully at school. She finally makes a friend, and you know, so there's that kind of those normal elements and like that. But at the same time, you're getting these stranger and stranger hints that something really isn't right at home. Her older sister is taking care of her. Her dad's out of the picture. Her mom is just really presented vaguely until it gets deeper and deeper into it. As the book goes on, you find out that her mom's dying of cancer. Her dad just split. Her older sister is taking care of her and her brother, and you know, struggling with that herself because, I mean, she may be old enough to take care of her siblings. She's an adult. But when you're a young adult, that's a huge burden there, too. A school therapist starts meeting with her. That kind of unveils stuff, and you see the girl lash out at various people throughout it. It's definitely one of those that it touches your heart. It's hard to read in some ways. You know, I'm lucky that I have both my parents still, but I know other people have had a parent pass away. I haven't had that happen yet, but that's something that I've just always kind of had that fear of losing somebody close to me. And I've lost other relatives that, you know, like I just lost an uncle, as a matter of fact, not long ago. And it's always hard to lose a relative. But having that fear of losing somebody that's right there with you and how you're going to deal with it. I've had cancer scares in my family. My mom has had cancer and thankfully recovered from it. All sorts of stuff. So it's this is a real heart-touching story. I really do like the art in it, especially as you're starting to get a vague unveiling of the real things that are going on. A lot of stuff is like kind of, there's words that are just completely scribbled out so you can't tell what they are. It represents really well that the girl is shutting down these things. She's shutting down the truth in her head and the emotions associated with these things. So a great graphic novel, 7 issues of comics. So that kind of tells you what the length is. I definitely recommend checking it out. If you're into, you know, anything with some heart in it, definitely. It's a black and white comic. But yeah, it's a good one. It's definitely on my recommend list for anybody from now on. So those were the two main things that I read that I wanted to talk about. But being on vacation, I had some specific goals in mind. I'm about halfway through my vacation right now. And one thing that I often find happens is you make specific goals, But then once you get the freedom to really just knock those things out, sometimes you really get down a rabbit hole of something and you realize that that's really what's interesting you at the moment. So I'm going to kind of go through this thread of how this built up and the things that I'm reading and watching and all that right now. But it goes back to getting into Usagi Yojimbo. A friend of mine, Kathan, who I met him as a Valiant fan. He was also a Ninja Turtle fan, and I'm a big Ninja Turtle fan, and then he got me to read Usagi. So I started reading Usagi, and I really loved Usagi. And that got me interested in the inspirations for Usagi. So Stan Sakai, you know, has shared his interest in you know, like the foreword and stuff like that. Various different things that influenced Usagi Yojimbo. So Akira Kurosawa is one. And the character of Miyamoto Usagi is based on Miyamoto Musashi, who is a real historical figure. And talking with my friend Aaron Bell about that, he recommended a book called Musashi that is about Miyamoto Musashi. So not the easiest book to find. You can't just go to any bookstore and find it. I had to buy it on eBay and I got a pretty nice copy for a reasonable price. I started reading it and just absolutely loved that too. I watched Seven Samurai, absolutely loved that. That was actually the second Kurosawa film I saw. They had one on Netflix at the time that I tried first, Kagemusha, I believe is how you would say it. That one was pretty good, but it was also my first time watching old samurai movies, so you got to kind of get used to the different, you know, material that you're watching. So it primed me well for Seven Samurai that I loved. I got Seven Samurai actually in a box set of four Kurosawa movies. There were Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, Sanjuro, and Hidden Fortress. And now I've watched all of them, except I've only watched about half of Hidden Fortress. I got to start it over because I tried to watch it, but it just kept on getting interrupted. But yeah, I went on vacation. One of the things I wanted to do was watch. I hadn't watched Sanjuro yet, and I wanted to either watch Sanjuro or finish Hidden Fortress. I decided just to watch Sanjuro from the beginning. So I put that on and I watched it, and it just got that craving for the samurai stuff flowing in me. So I decided to start reading Usagi Yojimbo again. I had left off after reading the third Dark Horse omnibus out of the eight Dark Horse omnibuses that there are, let alone there's seven volumes of Fantagraphics Usagi Yojimbo before that. So I picked up at the fourth Dark Horse omnibus of Usagi Yojimbo. I also decided to pick back up in Lone Wolf and Cub, which is another book that I got into because of Usagi Yojimbo and Stan Sakai's his influences for that book. Absolutely love Lone Wolf and Cub. If you haven't read any of it, the first seven volumes are on Comixology Unlimited. It's $6 a month for that. So that's a great way to just, I pounded through those seven so quickly when I got Unlimited. I just did it for a month to be able to read that. And then I purchased a whole bunch of them afterwards. If you wait for a good sale on Comixology, you can buy the volumes for $3 a piece. The Usagi Dark Horse omnibuses, you can buy those for like $7.50 a piece on a good Comixology sale, $7, $7.50, something like that. So sales are always a good thing to look for. You can get stuff real cheap, and that's a lot of good reading right there. I also checked out one that was recommended to me because I've always kind of been interested since I really like Usagi, like samurai stuff, and then I started reading Lone Wolf and Cub, which is the first manga that I've read that I've really liked. I've been wanting to see if there's other manga that I would like. So I asked for recommendations because I had tried one that was, I mean, it was good quality, but it just wasn't pulling me in. And I had a recommendation for a book called Vagabond, which is actually based on the book Musashi about Miyamoto Musashi. So I requested that from the library. It's not available digital, but I was able to get a volume of that from the library. And I'm not very far into it, but I definitely like it. It follows the book very well, but not 100% exactly, which is good. Like, you know, for any different media, there has to be some differences for things to work to their best. So it doesn't follow it exactly, but it follows it pretty heavily in what I've read so far. And it's very affordable, too. They have these big volumes that are like three trades collected into one bigger book that they're only $20 cover price. So if you're interested in any of those things I've been talking about, check out Vagabond. It's published by Viz. So that's been a lot of what I've been reading. I finished off those two other things, but man, I've just dived headfirst into the samurai stuff. While I'm on vacation, I want to finish watching Hidden Fortress. I'll probably just start from the beginning, as I said, because it's just been so choppy watching it. So I'd like to give it a good solid watch. I'm also reading through Usagi. I'm reading through Lone Wolf and Cub. I'm reading Musashi. If I could finish reading Musashi by the time I was back from vacation, that'd be great. But the book that I got is like 1,000 pages. So it also makes it quite a good price. It's a collection of many novels about Musashi, basically. Great book, though. Definitely check it out. Yoshikawa is the author of that one. So that's what I've been reading lately. The last part of this episode is going to be another edition of our favorite segment, Sparky Demands Answers. And I asked Sparky to ask me another question, and this is the question that he asked me. So Elon Musk, theoretically, is going to offer you money to dress as a superhero for the rest of your days. He'll give you $20 million to dress as Wonder Woman, $10 million to dress as Superman, or $5 million to dress as Luke Skywalker. Which one would you choose? That's definitely an interesting question. The first thing I ask myself is, why in the hell would Elon Musk want somebody to dress up as one of these superheroes? But I like the different levels of incentive. Like, you know, obviously it would be quite a bit more embarrassing to dress up as Wonder Woman. Superman, at least it would be the same sex as me, so that'd be a little bit less embarrassing, but really quite obviously I'd stand out quite a bit still. Luke Skywalker is one that you could dress like Luke Skywalker and you'd look odd, but not as odd as dressing like Superman or Wonder Woman. So ultimately, I thought about it, and there's a lot of ways you can look at this here. Like, you could dress as Wonder Woman, get that $20 million. That's a lot more money. You could do a lot more with it. You could do a lot of good with it. But I'd probably just take the $5 million and dress like Luke Skywalker. Be a little less weird, a little more comfortable, a little less embarrassing, a little less chilly living in Maine. Of course, like with $5 million, I wouldn't have to stay living in Maine. But at $5 million, it would be plenty to set me up and my family up for the rest of my life and do a lot of good with it. So that is what I would choose to do. So that is my episode for you today. Check out Ape Sapien and I Kill Giants. Tweet me at Who's Paul and let me know what you think of those two. Check out all the samurai stuff I mentioned. One question I have for you guys listening is, so I've been getting into Kurosawa, I've watched a few things, but I don't know all that much yet. And I know you can read stuff around on the internet and find stuff out, but that a lot of times you don't really get a good depth of information. You just find the same stuff over and over, or it's just not very enjoyable either. But I would like a good Akira Kurosawa biography or something like that, a book about Kurosawa. So if anybody knows a good one, tweet me at Who's Paul and recommend a book to me and I'll check it out. To give an example of my lack of knowledge, I had no idea that Sanjuro was a sequel to Yojimbo. So finding that out was pretty cool. The actor Mifune is in a lot of the movies, so it's not like that made it obvious, you know, to me being a first-time watcher of these things. That's it for tonight. So until next time, check out a bunch of the samurai stuff, Usagi, Lone Wolf and Cub. There's a ton of Usagi on Comixology Unlimited as well. Comixology Unlimited is a great thing to use if you want to check out a lot of different stuff for really, really cheap. $6 a month is really cheap to be able to do that. Check that stuff out. Hit me up on Twitter at Who's Paul, and I'll catch you next time.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.